Welcome to the With the Will podcast. We're here to entertain and inform a bit while talking about Digimon. I'm Mark, I run With the Will and produce Digimon on Blu-ray.
I'm DevQ, and I'm not happy about it being almost 100 degrees.
I was so tired last week, Dev. I didn't realize until I was editing the podcast version, I did not do the intro right last time.
I did, but I did not think it was much of a big deal.
No, it wasn't. It just didn't occur to me I said it wrong until I edited. I'm like, oh, that's weird. It probably sounds like I did that for the 300th episode. And I should definitely not mention that I had done it by mistake.
Oops. Edit it out in post. Edit it out in post.
How has the week treated you, Dev?
It was cold, and now it is sweltering hot, and it's going to be even hotter. And I do not like when the weather does that.
I got my Speed Racer disc early.
Yay!
And my review of it online was glowing, and basically, I said, it's as good as it can be, except it's not perfect, and I don't like the review saying it's perfect because they're missing actual small issues, and then people arguing with me that I'm just not understanding the visual style of the movie.
You should go to their houses and taser them.
Nah, what I'll do instead is I will let them talk about it for weeks, and then I will point out the issue, which I'm actually sending to you in private, Dev. I'm not saying who this character is or anything about him, but if you check his shirt coat in the first screen cap, that's a very nice textured coat, isn't it? The jacket, very nice texture to it, huh? Isn't it? And then if you check the new remaster, no texture on the coat. It's almost like they did a bit too much shine to it. I still really love this. You get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
People are saying I'm just misunderstanding the visual style of the movie. No, they accidentally wiped a few things in places, which most people aren't going to notice. So it doesn't matter. But when I see
it's kind of your job to notice.
Well, not only that, I saw a well-known review site that's really, really harsh on video for discs. Give it an A+ and basically say it was perfect. That every bit is exactly what's intended. And, yeah.
You should go and bite them.
Nah. I will just continue to see reviews because someone's going to notice, and I will let them notice on their own. I still really love the disc, though. It's probably my favorite disc of the year. I'm not joking when I say, the final scene is so crazy, I start tearing up at just how crazy it was. Like, just one of those God, I love movies scenes.
I'm glad it brings you joy.
Yes, it does. Dev, do you get joy from Beat Break?
Sometimes. More joy than I did from Ghost Game.
Do you feel like this episode title was named specifically to bait us into making a joke?
Yes.
And I don't feel like the episode's bad enough to actually make the joke, which bothers me a bit. It's episode 31, One Step Forward.
It was fine.
So we start off with, I start the episode not quite knowing what to expect because it was interesting that we were going to get Agumon. And we start with Tomura with Hitomi and I just went, not this again.
It's like, okay, she's going to escort us to the plot.
Yeah, which she did. And happy kid named Chihiro runs past. Gekkoman smells Digimon with her. They rush off after her. And this is where Hitomi does her only job in the show, which is to give the plot exposition. I don't know if it was you who told me this or someone else. Didn't someone say that Hitomi lived in the same complex as Tomura?
Yes. They're in the same apartment complex.
I'm not sure that makes sense with how long this girl apparently had been, staying in a room. Because Tomura actually hasn't been gone all that long.
Yeah, but then again, did Tomura pay attention to the people around him?
I feel like that'd be something for her to bring up when he goes, who's this girl? Did you never notice the weird girl? It's weird.
Did you notice this shut-in preschool?
Yeah. Hitomi mentions, she stopped smiling a while ago. Something bad happened at school. She stays in a room. And we see Chihiro playing with an Algomon. Yeah,
which is adorable.
Yeah, see, someone in chat saying the same thing I thought, which is, I thought they lived near the same apartment, but not the same one. I guess it doesn't matter.
We're in the same, building complex, which sometimes are, at least in Japan, they're like just a couple like slotted in like right next to each other. I forget the exact.
I guess at this point it doesn't matter because Tomura doesn't live there anymore. Although, am I wrong, or did they actually say that he still had the apartment at one point?
He still has it because he went back once or twice.
That's
to,
what
like,
I thought.
Pick stuff up.
That's what I thought, but like, they definitely acted like he doesn't live there, right?
He doesn't.
She freaks out when Tomuro shows up and mentions his mother, and Gekkoman licks it, as you do when you are introduced to someone.
I mean, it's like a forbidden jelly candy. You definitely want to lick it.
It's a very stereotypical sci-fi thing where you have the creature that speaks and beeps, but then the character can understand. I still like it, Agumon doing that, and Gekkoman understanding it. Hitomi introduces them, and then this is where they actually do some decent exposition, where Tomuro points out the ministry should have shown up.
Yeah, because it sends out a signal. It's like, hey, your Sapatama's fucked.
She's worried about Agumon. And Chiyo is clear she does not want to be separated from it. She was only really able to leave her room because of Agumon. And then,
like, this is my emotional support jelly.
And then Hitomi starts like poking at him like, you have to make sure they aren't separated. And they turn around, they're gone.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Like, that is a quick little kid, I have to say. And then
they kind of are just like that.
And then they very quickly jump back to the base. Reina is like, well, she can be a cleaner. They can stay together. And that's when Tomura's like, you can't have elementary school kids doing this. And then Makoto points out that that's his age, roughly. Still a few bits off, but still.
Look, that's another evidence for Tomura not paying much attention to the things around him.
Yeah. And then Yoshi shows up with a job. And then we jump to the... I always forget the name of the bar.
Grando, I think?
Yes. And I feel like I should definitely remember it because I'm pretty sure they say it like two or three times in the preview. And it's mentioned, this is where we get the exposition that maybe isn't needed. It's a special Digimon. Why is it special? It doesn't change its name.
Which is kind of a weird thing to point out. I would have assumed like, oh, because this Digimon fucks with electronics near it just by existing.
Yeah. Now, the weird thing is minus the bit at the beginning where Tomuro's like, I didn't do anything. Does it feel like there should be some mention that, like, there's only, like, two-ish characters who actually cause electrical interference like this? So far, one of them's Agumon, one of them is Tomuro. I think that's worth, in a relevant way, to, like, bring up.
Well, also remember at the beginning of the episode, like, before Chihiro showed up, Hitomi was complaining about her Sapotama being a little kind of like glitchy, and Tomura's like, I didn't do it.
But then they never mention it again when it's clear that it was meant to be Agumon that was doing it. What I'm saying is it feels like that's such a specific to Tomuro thing, but there's never really any mention made of him like caring or being aware that, someone else does it even if they're a Digimon.
Like, they're hunting down this poor creature who's fucking things up around them just by existing.
Yeah, it caused a disaster in America. They need to catch it quick. And then Chihiro gets bumped into by Rose's underlings looking for strange creature. And it's very weird that this is their introduction. Not because there's anything wrong with it, but also, like, the first time they showed up at this point was 7 episodes ago? Because it was the end of 24, wasn't it?
Yes, because it was right before the interlude.
Yeah, it was the last episode of Tactics. So we finally get actual introductions to them. She tries to run away. We get the one doing the flip over her. They would like to see in the bag. Now, we actually should point out, they're being very polite here. They're not actually like Tactics, where Tactics kind of in every way was just as much being a jerk as possible.
Very brutish and just complete and colossal assholes, and also no regard for the safety of children.
Yeah, like, they have their job, they're trying to be polite, plus they technically don't know it's the girl. They're, like, just trying to sort of do their jobs. But before they can, the E-Pulse makes Agumon evolve to a child level, devices start to wig out, and their Digimons jump out, which I will actually say, I liked that it was not the child forms, since we already had that sort of spoiled by the ED.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when we saw the ED and we went, oh, it kind of spoiled, like, they're going to tell us who the Digimon are anyways, but it kind of spoils it. I like that this just leapt out at us without telling us.
It worked.
Which, Toropiamon, which feels like an obvious choice based on,
Palmamon.
Yeah. I forgot the name temporarily. And, Oleomon. Which, interesting choice. I like the choice. It's definitely not an obvious one, though.
And yeah, I was expecting something else, but it's like, oh,
I feel
okay.
Like everyone was trying to guess at what is legally not Togemon in this case. Now, this is a level above that, if I remember. I believe they're both perfect.
Perfect, yeah.
Yeah, so we still don't know what that is, but it did feel like the guess everyone was making was what is not Togemon and what is not Lilymon. Was what everyone was trying to guess for Aramon. So yeah. So I think these are interesting choices. The ones may be a bit too easy.
Dinosaur.
Yeah. So they find them right after Tomuro finds them, and they introduce themselves as Brilliant Thorns. They mention they work for Rose, and they're going to delete Alcomon. As the Digimon Rush hero freaks out, we get energy bursting forth, and Agumon evolves right up to perfect, opens what, have we seen a bigger Mirror World portal?
Not that big.
This is where, like, the episode, it's not that the episode is cheating, because it's said from the beginning that Agumon is kind of a unique Digimon in this world, which it kind of has been each time it shows up, but it's unique here. Have we seen anything like this sort of quick evolution in Beat Break so far? Because we go from baby to
not that I can recall.
To adult to perfect really quickly, and it isn't even clear that it's absorbing energy thus far. Then when we get to Mirror World, it's Worm Phase. Which, it's funny, because when it dropped in for a quick moment, my brain had to process that Worm Phase was not ultimate level. Because Worm Phase is still perfect, as I recall.
Yes.
Yeah, it's very much they decided they wanted to do a run-through of Algomon, so you almost, like, can't breathe. Because, like, was perfect, it evolved, it did the portal, and then do we ever see normal perfect again?
No. Actually, I think it completely skipped, adult.
You're right. I didn't even think about that. Like, I was so caught up on child to perfect to worm, and you're right, it didn't show it. And they're like, the Digimon fuses with the Mirror World, and it is altering it to an ideal space. Is this the first time they've actually mentioned that, like, Mirror World is interactable in that way? Like, we see people interact with the space, but, like, where the Digimon can, like, interface
affect
with it.
The outs, yeah. Or
has that come up
real
before?
Real world from the inside. Nope.
No. See, I'm talking about it affecting the inside of Mirror World. That's before we even get to the outside. Because remember, it starts to, we get like the red spikes, and they mention that Mirror World is changing for all, it's changing it.
Oh, no, that hasn't happened either.
Yeah. And then we also do get the world will be disastrous like this, air is spreading through PCs everywhere through the web. I almost forgot to write down the eye catch for this one. It's Gekkomon, as I recall. I will say, this episode really probably needed to slow down at some point.
Look, they were speed running Saber's Burst Mode movie.
I mean, that movie's shorter than this episode.
Yeah, but it was still bad.
Trotmon can't find them. For now, Glowing Dawn's going to try to keep damage to a minimum. The Thorns want to delete Algumon, and they're not exactly wrong. The problem here is Girl and Algumon. Tomuro
and there is a small child
right
there who is basically being a battery.
Tomuro
and also does not want you to touch her jellyfish.
Tomuro and Gekkomon jump with an idea, evolve. Trotmon's doing his best to have glitches recover in the real world. Armalizumon can't really get Chihiro because it's being blocked by Algumon, who's also grabbed Tomuro. The Thorns
kind of grabbed everyone, okay?
The Thorns get grabbed right after. I will say, I really wish they did this more with Reyna when they jump back to her, and where she's eyeballing the falling drones so Wolvermon can snipe them, where she's acting as lookout.
Yeah, like, and more active.
Then here's a great moment that's also weirdly terrible, and it's one me and Dev already talked about before we recorded. The Thorns get grabbed after they get grabbed, and the Digimon get grabbed. The Digimon are kind of snippy with each other. Like, I like the snippiness, but also it feels like I need them to be introduced first.
Yeah, it's like, so far you have no personality aside from being kind of a bitch to each other, which is perfectly valid.
Solid shot of Kyo saving a kid with no regard for his life, and Murasumon having
to look a lot like Asuka.
I don't think I noticed that at all, to be honest. And Murasumon jumps in to save them both.
Like, yeah, Murasumon could have totally just grabbed the kid and jumped, but Kyo's just like, nope, I am going to be a meat shield.
Then we get Chihiro getting cold-hearted by Agumon, while Chihiro's talking about wanting to stay together. Tomura is trying to warn Agumon about what is happening, because the one actually coherent thing that, like, the episode is aware of, but it doesn't feel like it ever stops to point out even here, is Tomura is very aware the Agumon is not a bad Digimon. It doesn't really know what's going on, but yeah. Armalizumon hears what Agumon's saying. It's trying to grab E-Pulse to grant her wish. The Thorns want to delete it. Tomura won't let them. We get E-Pulse being pumped into Armalizumon, who says, I thought this was going to be immediate evolution, but first we actually get like a We get like a charge-up ride scene, and then 5 seconds later we get the evolution, and I think that was new background music.
I wasn't paying that much attention to the music, but at the same time, I was like, oh, so they're actually using like the E-Pulse power-up again. Neat.
But they didn't do anything with it. They, like, quickly evolve. Then Monarch Lizumon bursts out of his grip, rushes to save Chihiro, and they point out that Agumon's trying to defend, or, you know, we see Agumon trying to defend her in its own way. We get the energy rush attack, which we haven't seen this yet, right? I keep trying to think of, like, all the attacks we've seen Monarch do in its handful of episodes, and I'm like, this may be a variation of something, but I don't know.
I think it's mostly, let's obscure the screen attack.
Then, you know, they see Chihiro's wish, how Agumon's trying to make it happen. Tomura yells about the cold-hearting more. Agumon does understand, but it can't stop for Chihiro, because she's worried Agumon will get erased. Tomura explains, no, they need Agumon to revert to stop a bad thing, but she wants to stay with it. They can't for now. We get a flashback to Kyo talking about the future, and we should point out they're now in a space that, like, does the episode ever explain this space?
Not at all. It's just Kingdom Hearts.
To be fair, before that it was Evangelion. Before that it was used in other things, but like I felt more Evangelion than Kingdom Hearts, to be honest. And we should also point out the only, like, the main mention of the space is Gekkoman being confused that he's Gekkoman again.
Like, wait, when did I revert?
Yeah. We see flashes. I actually like that we don't get an explanation of who the people are. We're just meant to take them as Chihiro's family and that something else happened. She's wondering if Tomura really can reach that dream he talked about. He says, you know, they can, it's their dream. Agumon grabs her face and beeps as she cries. We get Agumon floating into the light. It beeps more.
It's like the end of Tamers.
I like Gekkoman saying that Agumon was also thinking Tomura. Everything in the world snaps back to normal. I like the Thorns actually commenting they lost. It's a nice difference from tactics, which it always felt more like an excuse or blaming.
It's like, we totally botched that job, but oh well.
They even
Team Rocket's blasting off again.
They even comment they aren't bitter about it. We get more of the we get more that's more than a bit bantering. Definitely more than bantering.
Let's go, lesbians.
They run off with a child-level Digimon. Back to the mission at hand, which comes across as that whatever they were doing was actually not related to Agumon, and they just happened to come across it and decide they had to deal with it. See, I thought their mission was Agumon until they said that.
That's That's what I also thought, because, yeah. You know, like, okay, they're minions of a five-star, having Agumon running around and shutting down all the electronics in a huge swath of area is probably not a good thing, so
yeah,
send your minions.
Then Tomuro visits Chihiro's apartment with Hitomi. It's commented she hasn't come out for a while. Then we jump back to Narinso later to play with the Digimon, and Tomuro sees a familiar small green Digimon beeping at him. He also notices the holo emitter's glitching. He seems sad. Kyo comments that, you know, they knew the dream would be hard. That's why it's worth doing. Hitomi goes to her apartment, and she sees Chihiro come out slowly. And definitely not... This is probably, like, the main good part of the episode. It doesn't have her come out easily. It's very hard for her, and she really doesn't want to. She's able to. And she says she's going to Narinso. Which I do feel like we...
I'm going to see my boy!
No, I wish we had some clarification about that. Like, does she just know that Digimon end up at Narinso? Has, like, Tomuro told her that Agumon is there?
Because it was very... It just kind of, like, ended. So it's like, did they just, like, hey, we're taking your partner and we're putting him in daycare.
Yeah, like, because Agumon, like, floated away in that ocean space. Did it just show up at Narinso one day? Was it just there when the fight? I would actually like to know. Like, I don't always need answers for stuff. This one feels more interesting and feels like we needed answers.
I guess they wanted to leave it vague until the last second where it's like, Oh, Agumon's fine. They didn't have to murder the shit.
Mostly a solid episode. The thorns were introduced properly enough for now. I would say the episode does suffer because does it feel like still like the arc is not starting?
Yes, because it's like, oh, the gift arc. And it's like, okay, you've had the word gift flash onto Sapotama without that. Yeah.
Also,
much going
I
on.
Wrote this when I was finishing the episode, and I've actually seen other people mention it since. Does it really feel like this should have been an early episode? Like, this would have.
Yes, it does.
This would have, like, really, like, benefited Tomuro getting growth early on.
Like, early 20, like, early, like, teens episode.
Yeah, somewhere around there. It really. Yeah, and even in chat, there's someone saying the episode didn't need to be part of the gift arc. It could have been anywhere. It really feels like it would have benefited Tomuro, especially in, like, the early he's a crotchety teenager episodes.
Yeah, it would be more appropriate when he was like, oh, okay, this kind of like weird little glitchy creature is like me.
Yeah.
It deserves to have a home that is safe.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so we're in the weird, we're still in that weird zone of the episode itself is decently good, but it feels like the show's like weirdly meandering at this point.
Yeah, it's like, you only got so many episodes left to go. Chop, chop.
Yeah. So cast stuff. So what's interesting is Beat Break is one of the few examples we have where sometimes the Japanese evolutions have different voice actors. So we don't actually know if the two voice actors are going to play the child form, or even if the child forms will talk at this point. So Misa Watanabe is Toropiamon. She was Plesiomon in Hunters and Salamandaramon in 2020. Some of her better known roles were Usurapa and Dinosaur King, Maki and Drops of God, Northa and Fresh Pretty Cure, Liam and Gundam Unicorn. She's Vivi in One Piece, and Nozomi in World Trigger. And I only picked out one video game role. She's Ava in the Metal Gear games.
That's the one role that I've actually seen.
Yeah. Oleamon was Michi Tomizawa, her first Digimon appearance. So, a lot of credits. Okay, so this is one where, like,
wall of text?
It could have been wall of text. I made it not wall of text because Roberta in Blood Lagoon.
Okay.
Lena in Bubblegum Crisis.
Ooh!
Matsuzaka in Crayon Shin-Chan. Minami in Kimagura Orange Road. Locky in One Piece. Seiko in Project Eiko. Sailor Mars in Sailor Moon stuff. Mihoshi in Tenshi. And she's Rachel in Dead or Alive and Ninja Gaiden content.
Okay.
Chihiro was Hina Kino, her first Digimon role. A lot of credits also. Li Shu in Apothecary Diaries. Alas in Devil is a Part-Timer. Tsukiyomi in Oshinoko. Fuwa in Star Twinkle Pretty Cure. And Hana in Sakamoto Days. We're not going to go over Meto and Kanon again because they were credited.
We already did.
It was like 3 or 4 episodes ago, and we both went, I don't know if they spoke. I don't think they were. They
did not.
Not only did they not speak, am I wrong, or were they not even in the episode? Like, even like.
They were just kind of standing in a background shot.
Okay.
That was.
Yeah. So then next episode, we get Cold Rain, which is probably most notable in, hey, it's Ninja Gamamon.
Now I have like the Ninja Gaiden song from the NES playing in my head.
Oh, the first level where it's, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. But yeah. Yep, that's playing in my head right now.
Yeah, I will say the way he's moving and drawn very much feels like they're taking inspiration from the modern Ninja Gaiden games for how he moves around. And this came to mind because I played 4 like a few months ago.
I have not played any of the modern ones, but I would like to.
They are you probably would not. They're that specific type of hard pain in the ass that a lot of people will just after an hour go, I'm done.
You need to be a certain type of masochist. Yeah.
And this appears to be a Kyo episode, which means we're going to have 50 people going, it's going to be an evolution.
Bullshit, no.
Oh, I'd love to be wrong on that, but it doesn't feel like it. But we will see. And then on to Beat Break news. So first up, art, animation director's corrections from episode 30, featuring Tsukasa and Glowing Dawn. I don't have any of these been quite so raw, hand-drawn on paper before?
Occasionally. Like, once in a rare one.
But I think, but what I mean is even those, like, they filtered the images to make them look a bit less papery. Where here, like, they look like dirty scan, like, the paper almost doesn't look like it was sitting flat. I like it. Okay,
they're
now
crunchy.
The funny part is, I think the coolest one is Reyna and Tomura.
They look so bitchy.
They're mad they weren't featured in that episode enough. Then we get line animation of Scourge Trotmon's evolution. Really, really good line animation.
It was really fucking cool.
And then a few musical updates. First up, Kazuki from Mad Kid went to Summerland with his nephew, who's a Gekkoman fan, and who wanted to try the Sapotama drink, and in fact got it while they still had the eggs.
Aw. Did they ever tell us what flavor it actually is?
I don't think so. In fact, remember how they said they were going to do like a webpage with details about the event?
They haven't?
No, they did. I keep forgetting to post that they did it because it doesn't actually have more information. It's just all the stuff that I'd found on a few pages put in one place.
Ah,
so I keep new. So I keep forgetting to put it up because there is nothing there. On top of that, he mentioned they actually heard their song playing during the Beach Splash event. He thought hearing Mad Pulse while at the pool was really, really good. A clip of Vienna performing Mirror Mirror from her current tour. And also the second collaboration art image with her sort of dressed as Mimi. They drew her with a tail. And new art of... I don't know what Prismon is doing here.
Being propelled upward by her own farts? I don't know. How else am I supposed to interpret this?
I feel like what's supposed to be is like Prismon jumping and doing a cool action shot. But the lines do, like, make it feel weird. And then, early in the week, it was found out that Wakana Yamazaki passed. For Digimon, she had been Arachnemon in O2 and Ghost Game. She was also her in Survive and had played Sanzomon in Hunters. She had gone on hiatus in February for medical treatment for unspecified illness. It was announced the treatment didn't work, and she actually passed on April 18th. They delayed the announcement because private services and everything for the family. Her biggest roles were outside of Digimon, though. This is one where she had so many roles, I just picked like 5 or 6 and moved on, because if you look at like her list of credits, Ran Mori in Detective Conan, Mako in Marmalade Boy, Nojika in One Piece, and she also stood in as Nami for a few episodes, and I think it was announced that Nami's VA is taking over as Ran Mori, and okay. She's Ayane in Dead or Alive in Ninja Gaiden. Then
it's probably cancer. Fucking sucks.
They didn't give any, there were no details, at least that I'm aware of. Then it was announced that Cyber Sleuth passed 3 million in sales. So this one has, Cyber Sleuth numbers have always been interesting since around 2019, because we don't actually know what they're saying.
Yeah, that, and it's on turbo sales so often.
Yeah,
and
so, well, so here's the thing. The last time we got a formal number was in 2020 that said 1.5. Last year, during Digimon Con, the host mentioned that it had passed 2.5 million, but it wasn't clear how formal of an announcement that was, or if it's just a rough estimate. So at this point, it's hit 3 million. Theoretically, it's done 500,000 in the past year, when the game is now constantly on sale for $5. That's not an insult. That's still a good chunk of money for...
Yeah, that, and it's also available on pretty much every console in existence.
No, that's the thing. It's not. Outside of Japan, you can't get Cyber Sleuth anymore. It's only Hacker's Memory, because in Japan, Hacker's Memory is both games on the PS4. There was... On the PS4 and the Vita in Japan, there was never a version of Hacker's Memory that did not also include Cyber Sleuth. So this includes the Vita version of Cyber Sleuth, the later worldwide PS4 remaster of Cyber Sleuth, Hacker's Memory Worldwide. Hacker's Memory in Japan always came with Cyber Sleuth on both platforms, and then the complete edition on Switch and PC. But at this point, it's literally free money for them. So selling 500,000, even if it's $5 at that point, it's still a significant bit of change. But at some point, it does feel like they need to be aware that if you only sell Hacker's Memory in Japan, that's fine for PS4, because that is both games. There was never a standalone Cyber Sleuth on PS4. It feels like they're unaware of that, and that is why only Hacker's Memory is available here. But yeah, so like, like right now when I was looking, Steam sale price was $10, Steam keys on Humble were $5, and if you were a Humble member, keys were $4. So very easy to get at this point. And then that leads us into everyone's favorite topic, fiscal numbers.
Which I'm going to disassociate for, because I find it boring as shit.
Nah. You like them more than you would admit. So nothing actually super exciting here. Like, Beat Break is only mentioned in the on-air section, where, like, this is a show on-air, or they plan to have on-air by the end of the year. They mentioned Times Changer performing well, which we knew. That actual category had a revenue decline, because in the prior period they had a big Dragon Ball game. Actual financial documents show Digimon doing great. Most of its money is from licensing outside of Japan, which makes sense. The weird thing is we still do not actually know, like, what we don't, since we don't know how the money goes into Toei, we don't know,
how is this calculated specifically?
Yeah, like, have they been paid whatever their share of Time Stranger is? Or, like, overseas film top four, people are like, oh, that must be Beat Break. That could be Beat Break. That could be paying streaming for various shows. That could include payments from Discotech. That could include payments from, what's the German company that does the Blu-rays? KSM? I think it's KSM.
I wouldn't know.
There's a lot of things that can be, and it's hard to gauge, especially since if you look at the overseas film number for Digimon, because they always show the four preceding years so you can compare, the number Digimon has in that category would not actually have charted in the prior 4 years. Because you get stuff like Slam Dunk having its big movie.
Yeah.
And such. And Dragon Ball and One Piece always do well. I think these charts help, because I think it's hard for people to gauge, like, just how much
Digimon's dying forever. It'll never come back.
See, I think more of it where they go, why isn't it beyond third? It's because it's never going to get to One Piece or Dragon Ball. It's just not. And chat says we're number three, and that's about as good as you can expect based on what's there. It's doing very well. My only thing is, and it's the same thing we said last time, was it's only questionable if you expected it to go to the moon because of Time Stranger and Beat Break, which we don't even know if Toei's, if those numbers are on the books yet, for example. But numbers are all good. There's nothing really bad showing up, honestly. which is always good. And then we have Digimon Up stuff. First up, Showcase of Palmon.
He's cute.
Then we get... I believe you were wrong, Dev, because I think you said they were going to do another social media campaign, not another pre-registration one.
That is what I assumed.
To be clear, I don't think either of us would have ever called that the unlocked Digimon would be Numamon.
It feels like an April Fool's joke.
Yeah,
it's a little late.
Yeah, it feels like they're trolling us. Like, okay, fuckers, you go ahead. Yeah. So, you know, pre-register if you don't, you get a lot of stuff when the game comes out. Then we get Patamon. I'm sorry, this is one of the best Patamon sprites we've ever seen.
Yes, he's adorable.
Especially like the running animation.
He's doing his best.
Then we get Imperial Dramon Dragon Mode shown off.
This actually reminds me really well of the Digimon Battle Server sprite for Imperial Dramon.
It does have a resemblance to it, I would say. Although I would really like them to come up with another reason to post these in English, because when they post them in Japan, the new pixel art design is added because of the movie that's being streamed freely. Here, since they're not doing that, there's like, oh, it's to celebrate pre-registration.
They can just lie.
But also, like, pre-registration have been open for, like, 2 or 3 weeks at this point. And then we get a couple of Japanese commercials along with sticker campaign. The commercial really does make it feel like it's sooner rather than later, doesn't it?
It's like coming 2026 question mark.
It feels like it's, I almost wonder if it's going to launch on the anniversary of the franchise.
That could make sense.
Which is late June. That's what it feels like to me, at least. And then we have card preview, Dev.
Preview?
They put up Kaguyamon for Booster Set 12, which we've seen the art before in an earlier art preview. Very nice looking card. And I'm like, oh, they put it up in Saturday morning, so they're starting the formal ones where they do 2 or 3 every day. They have not posted one since. So
I'm glad that we don't have a parallel right next to it that looks almost exactly the same.
Yeah, I think I get why they switched to it. I think it worked better when they did all the parallel cards in a row at the end of previews. Where, like, they've shown every card, and then the parallels are just like, parallel, 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 then special, special, special. Now we get, like,
here's all the sexy versions.
Yeah, now they show them next to normal ones, and sometimes it just kind of makes us go, like, these would be special if we saw them a month apart. Seeing them at the same time almost makes it more disappointing. Then card
comparison
battle.
Comparison is the thief of joy.
And then God bless them. We get a card battle episode with English subtitles when it's not them playing a match. It's a quiz about the new rules from Booster Set 25. Hooray.
Okay, I don't even remember the original rules.
Did you ever read them, Dev?
I tried, but my memory is a sieve, so nothing stuck.
Makes sense. And then poll time. Poll results for favorite guest Digimon from Beat Break Episode 1 through 12. Did we call Pandamon?
Yes.
So here's what's interesting about this poll. The first two are Digimon with great personalities in the show that show why Beat Break is potentially something special. Every other Digimon on this list just kind of makes me go, oh yeah, they existed.
Like they got a cameo.
Like outside of those, outside of these two, the only one that really had like a solid personality was Black Gaukamon.
Had like half a personality.
Yeah, like the top two dominate, then we get three that sort of perform well, and I can see why they did, and then the rest just kind of drop. Like, I thought Haimon was gonna do better, to be honest.
I mean, I didn't, just because it's of course like in like the first couple of episodes.
See, that's
so
why I thought it would, because it was very memorable being in the first couple.
Yeah, but these polls also tend to sort of, like, I've noticed over time, skew towards what was the most recent in front of people's faces.
I'm trying to think what actually is the most recent out of these. I guess it would be Marine Bulmon. Because that was the evolution episode.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
And no one
that or Raremon.
And no one likes Chombulmon.
No. Like, they like the personalityless construction equipment more.
Yeah. See, Machmon is what fits in with your theory of recentness, because Machmon, it didn't do a lot, but it was actually kind of like a cool episode.
It's like, it's a motorcycle.
Yeah. In the chat, they say no one will ever miss Chombomon. And that is true. And
yeah, the Tonka Toy did better.
Then from the Weekend Potpourri, first up, if you were watching the free official YouTube uploads of Adventure 2020, they added episodes 11 through 20.
Neat.
Then, Dev, we have photos from Annabirth. They got the denim stuff.
Yes, I zoomed in super far and is like, yay!
Most of it...
The buttons actually are denim.
Yeah, that's the funny part, is like, we're trying to decide if it was going to be, and it is. Although I'm still confused about that one button where they're like, oh, it's wall art. And it's like, that is the same size as all the other buttons. And then, my theory about the hat turned out to be correct.
Yay!
That one hat where we couldn't figure out why it was cheap, and I'm like, I think I saw some mention of this plush.
They should have given the plushie a jacket, too.
Yeah. But yeah, the buttons actually look neat. Ignoring the one, I mean.
What, ignoring the Agumon one? Which is just basically just, like, printed on it?
No, see, if you zoom in, I think that is actually sewn also. I'm just confused what it is, because remember, they called it, like, can badge wall art or something.
I feel like it might just be like printed onto the denim. Like it looks like it's kind of like a vinyl decal. Like
that would probably make sense. I'm just confused about the name of it, because like, you know what, you like, here's the thing, it didn't make sense with the price, so I knew that's not what it was gonna be. Doesn't it feel like the idea was that you would get a giant can badge that you could hang on the wall?
Yeah, but with the price, it didn't make sense. Yeah. But I guess because it has the artwork of Agumon on it.
I guess? I don't know. Yeah, so that's in stock at both Annabirth locations now. Get your denim shit while you can. See, here's the thing. Me and Dev mocked this. It's actually really fun when they actually do something a bit different.
I think
we both...
If I had easy access to it, denim, sure, I would grab
denim can badges. I really,
they look neat.
I know they do.
I like the paw prints.
Yeah. Then Ayumi Miyazaki thanked everyone who made Nico Nico Night because he was there to perform. Some nice photos of that. And then the next one's a bit interesting. A few photos from performer-songwriter Crayon Yuchi posted saying they had talked about doing this for over a year and finally did. And it was going to the Tokiwasu Manga Museum with Kenji Watanabe and Ayumi Miyazaki. So Tokiwatsu was an apartment boarding house for animators and manga creators, and a bunch of famous people lived and worked there in, you know, early years of doing this stuff, including Osamu Tezuka. It later closed down, and then years later, I don't know if it was refurbished or if it was like a replica was made as a manga anime museum.
Really cool.
So one
I'd like to go visit there.
So one of the people who was at Tokiwasu Ueno's apartment was Fujio Akatsuku, who created Osomatsu. And in one of them, you can see them posing in front of an Osomatsu art with Iami doing his pose from the franchise and them all doing their best attempt at it. I'm pretty
well,
sure...
they're trying. Their backs hurt.
Well, I was going to say, I don't think Kenji Watanabe can lift his leg up like that anymore. Because you can see Miyazaki and her trying to do the leg lift. I don't think Watanabe can.
No.
Yeah. No. So yeah, some good photos from that fun. Then, this one's interesting. Tenya Yabuno put up a sketch of the Ghost Game crew noting, it's been a while. And we've actually seen him do
remember? Oh yeah, he did the character designs.
And he did a number of pieces of art, including a few promo image that sort of looked like this. Where, like, the kids had their, like, full bodies, and then the Digimon were, like, tiny SD versions. Although, weirdly, only Gaomon ends up being SD proportions, because if you do an SD Angoramon or an SD Jellymon, they mostly just sort of look like Angoramon and Jellymon.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, no clarity what this is for. I would guess promotion for the Blu-ray?
That would make sense. I forgot about that.
Because we know new art's being done by the actual anime character designer. So I would assume promo art here, or maybe to be used as some sort of bonus background. So we will see. And then we get Kulumon art, because it's the 25th anniversary of Digimon Tamer's Pocket Kulumon, which mostly reminds me...
I still remember that song from the commercial.
The main thing I remember is, in retrospect, going, you know, it's good that games and hardware cost so much to import back then, because there's so much stupid shit I would have imported. Because I would have imported a pocket station. I would have imported this. And it feels like that would have been such a waste of money. Doesn't it?
Kulumon was so fucking cool. I mean, I still spend a lot of money getting Kenji Watanabe to sign my Kulumon card. So I...
Yes, but you can treasure that forever.
I could have also treasured a pocket Kulumon, pocket station console thing as well.
Then, as follow-up to the April Fool's art he did, Takeo Kojima did art of Hotoroku in a maid outfit, which he specifically labels as fan art. Which, of course, means I've seen multiple people going, this is official art of Hotoroku.
Which no, is funny maybe because it was just recently.
The funny part is he almost never labels his art as fan art because it's not necessary. This one, he's like, yeah, I better say it's fan art. Really good art. Although, weirdly, does she look like... So, she's 18. Does this feel like this is like mid-20s Hotoroku?
Yeah.
Like, the face structure does not feel like that. It feels like she's significantly older.
Unless you said it specifically, oh, this is Hotoroku, I would not even recognize
that. I have to be honest, when I do We Can Post, I go through certain things. I almost skim past them, like, oh, he did another maid art. And then I stopped and went, that hair is kind of familiar. I wonder if he wrote in text who this is. And it's like, oh, it's Hotoroku. Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it doesn't...
I would not have guessed.
Yeah, it is, but, yeah. Then, for Beat Break episode 31, he did art of Chihiro and Algon. This is, I think, is this his best episode art he's done?
It's adorable, and also reminds me that Chihiro's outfit reminds me a little bit of Rhythms from the Savers movie.
See, it doesn't for me, because I just think of the hat.
I think of, like, the slightly layered sundress and, like, the teal colors.
Yeah, I just, when you say Rhythm, I just think of hat. Like, I don't even fully remember her outfit. Then Akamine Aki drew Chihiro in her outfit from the end of the episode. This is actually some of their better art that they've done to show off, I think.
I hope she just shows up in a future episode just chilling at Narenso.
Do you think she'll be relevant, or do you think she'll just walk by the screen with Hitomi?
I feel like she will probably incite a baby rebellion, kind of like the episode where the Mushroom Bros showed up.
And then Abe did a profile shot of Tomro. He worked on episode 31, handing layout, and some of the drawings for the Narenso sequence near the end. Very nice shot of Tomro. Also,
looks especially fluffy.
Also, one of my... Like, I really love seeing the art from people work on the show, but I love that because the Digimon Beat Break logo is not overly stylized, we get everyone trying to draw it each time.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that. Then chat, it's time for questions. We'll start with the ones that are sent ahead of time. Someone said, do you think they should do a Sapotama toy, and what should it be if so? So this is the weird thing. Like, if they want to do a Sapotama toy, does it feel like it would just be Digivice Color or Digimon Color or Digivice Color Evolution programming with a egg-shaped shell?
Honestly, yeah. I mean, like, what else would they really do?
But that's what I mean. Like, they don't have to do, like, a from-scratch Sapotama toy. You could just do the Digimon Color Beat Break. And it's just a Digimon Color with a egg-shaped shell. It's
that
sort of
would work. It's like a special carrying case
Yeah. It's sort of like how we get the neat Digimon Cross Wars color for the 15th anniversary. It doesn't even get like a cross loader shell, and it's still a neat Cross Wars thing. You could do that. Someone said in chat, it needs to be like the Hachami's toys where it breaks open into a Gekkomon or one of the other main cast. See, you could do that with like a little basic figure. Oh, no,
plushies.
Dev, horrible
oh,
fucking
God,
idea.
Oh, God, blind box.
Yeah, blind box, plushies. Where the blind boxes are the Sapotamas.
Oh my god, I would spend so much fucking
money. That's a horrifying idea. Then someone said that in the past, I've mentioned fajitas. What type of fajitas do we both like?
I cannot eat fajitas. I would die, unfortunately.
Chicken. With peppers, onions, and mushrooms is my preference. I'm sorry you can't have fajitas, Dev.
It's okay. I've made peace with my dietary restrictions.
Well, at least we got it so you can have popcorn now. Tiny Iron Fist asks, which Digimon would work great as a plushie? I'm going to assume they mean that has not gotten a plushie in the past.
Give me an Algumon plushie.
You know what's weird? Does it feel like they could just repurpose the Mochimon plushie?
Really easily?
Like, you just make it a bit shorter, then you add on the appendages and the shapes?
Well, and also, like, the Kuramon, too.
Oh, I forgot they did that, because they did that one pop-up shop, didn't they?
Yes, and I still want one of those goddamn Kuramon plushies and the desk mat.
I still think you can do a really nice Gekkomon one if you can do it before Beat Break ends.
I mean, Gekkomon feels like one of those designs where people would still want it after Beat Break.
Then
it's a mascot lizard dinosaur creature. People are going to want it.
Let's see, then. So, I feel like you can't really give your own theory credit like that, where some were asked, what do we think of my increasingly likely theory that there is no digital world in Beat Break as of now? I mean, Digimon shows have often not really mentioned the digital world until it's needed. That's not really new, to be honest.
Just do that sometimes.
Yeah, I haven't really given it much thought one way or the other, to be honest.
I was mostly thinking about, it's like, okay, when are they going to have a Reyna-centric episode and maybe evolution sequence?
We're waiting for the plot before we worry about the digital world. Then someone asked, how do we think the Gundam Road to 50 short compared to the Digimon Adventure 25 one or to 13 plus?
I did not watch the Gundam one.
Well, the Digimon Adventure 25, the one that began the 25th anniversary, that was specifically just like a few minutes of Digimon Adventure stuff for that. In the case of Digimon, it's a bit odd because there's multiple franchise anniversaries for like what it is. That's why sometimes they treat the Adventure one as an anime anniversary, while Gundam is the anniversary for it. And it beats the tar to 13 plus because 13 plus's main issue is there's a lot of stuff it does not want to deal with, and it deals with kind of out of spite. While the Road to 50, everything is in there somewhere. And even the stuff that I like, you will find very few Gundam fans that will defend F91. It is a terrible movie. And everyone who works on it admits it's terrible for reasons that were out of their control. F91 even gets like a moment of cool, oh, that's neat, in the Gundam thing. I'll show you it later. It's a neat little short.
Take a look at it.
The only weird thing about that is Road to 50, as if the 50th anniversary is not like 3 years away. So this is them priming the pump hard.
Like, get ready to open your wallets.
Yeah, it's basically prime the pump. Then someone said they were curious how we decided, like, what VTubers send each other clips of. I don't think either of us do. I think we just go, haha, funny clip, here it is.
Yeah, sometimes something just pops up on my autoplay. It's like, ha, that seems funny.
Yeah, I don't.
It's not that deep.
Yeah, I don't think we put any thought into who the VTubers outside of, oh, I've definitely shown Dev a clip of this person, so they might at least get the weird eclectic joke.
Like, there is previous context.
Yes. Then Metal Knight, Metal King wants to know, would the Gekkomon plush have its tongue out or not? See, you gotta think.
You squeeze it and it ejects the tongue.
No, you gotta think bigger, Metal Knight. If we're talking about Blind Box Sapotama's, the Chase plush will be Gekkomon with its tongue out. Yes, it's Chase Gekkomon with a tongue out.
Also, the anti-Chase is going to be the cursed, needle-felted Cougarmon plushies that Kyo made.
Oh, that's horrifying, because they would actually do that, wouldn't they?
And I would purchase them.
Then, last chance for chat to throw up questions. The last one we were sent ahead of time was, with Digimon 30th anniversary next year, do you think we get a new version of the original Digimon Pet, and how do they do that after the 20th in color?
They just put fancier art on it.
So, I feel like the weird thing you do is this. You do the Digimon Color 30th, and you do it like the 20th anniversary one was, where it's not the one V-Pet, it's like a whole collection. Because remember, the 20th was, it was all of 1 through 5 in one V-Pet. And then when they did the colors...
I've completely forgotten about that.
Then when they did the colors, they went back to single ones because it made sense to do them as single ones. So I think you do like a color that's like a big mass V-Pet. I think that's what you do. I'm trying to think what else you would do for it. Because like they're still doing the 20th anniversary V-Pets. They announced new shells and they're going to do more waves of them. So you have to kind of do something neat for the 30th, and it can't just be that. So I guess what do you do if it's not just going to be do the color but with more? You know, actually, I do have an idea. Tell me if you think this is stupid, Dev. You do the Digital Monster Color 30th evolution. You do the programming from the Digivice toys, but with the V-Pet version 1 Digimon, and you have like an adventure mode for them.
I would love an adventure mode. Oh, and now, this would never happen, but compatibility that you can load some of the Digimon onto your phone.
See,
like,
I feel
like Digimon Up.
I feel like we need to wait to actually see what Up is before, because like that's the thing is they could be planning to have V-Pets that interact with Up in some way.
Because it would be fun, kind of like in like a, if you remember like the Poke Walker from Heart Gold and Soul Silver, which is like you can just like do the opposite, load the Digimon from your V-Pet into your phone and just go on adventures and give it treats and play with it.
And good idea in chat. Are you ready, Dev? For the 30th? No. The Durham Online X-Forms with the number 30 on their stuff. They don't say this, but I assume they would declare themselves the 30th.
God, I hope so.
Deep down, it's what we all want. Okay, I believe that is it for questions. Dev, what Wikimar article would you like people to read?
Because they actually showed up again. Oleamon.
That's a good one. Okay, so Dev, since you picked Oleamon, who do you think the adult level will be?
Hard to say. Like, I'm kind of... I mean, going color palette-wise, I kind of feel like Zasomon would kind of work.
Yeah, it does feel like that's one that would work well.
Because, like, both Alraumon and Oleamon have kind of, like, the darker, muddier colors, so...
I almost feel like you could go with, like, a purple. So go with Alraumon's, like, the flower head. And then Oramon kind of looks kind of like a dirty purple and green. So you could kind of have it be... Oh, someone in the chat said Woodmont. That'd be an interesting one, I think.
I feel like something that you would, like, pick up and carry around.
Yeah, there's so many possibilities.
We're even going with, like, various armors, kind of like, What was that Togemon with the... Ponchomon. Ponchomon. Something like that is, an option.
That would be acceptable. Okay.
Let's pull out an armor.
Let's see. Sunday this week, because I wasn't going to be around tomorrow. Next time should be back to Monday. We will see what we have to talk about outside of a new beat break. Thank you, everyone, for showing up. We will catch you guys next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.